is Halacha Day on Perek Chafei, and the beginning of Parshas Toldos. And I thought a possible halacha to deal with would be, what bracha do you make on lentil soup? That might be a possibility, but it's not actually within the text of the Chumash itself. So he found something within the text of the Chumash itself, where the Gemara in Yevamos quotes the following thing from Pasuk Chaf Aleph, right? Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So the Pasuk says, Vayeter Yitzhak LaHashem LeNochach Ishto, that Yitzhak beseeched Hashem on behalf of his wife, Ki Akarahi, for she was barren. Vayeser Lo Hashem Batar Rivka Ishto. And Hashem was beseeched, and Rivka, his wife, became pregnant. So the Gemara says two interesting things in Yevamos Daf Samach Dal Amud Aleph. One of them is Al Ishto Lo Nemar El Nochach Ishto. It doesn't say on his wife, but rather for the problems of his wife. What does it mean? Like on behalf of his wife, Melamed Sheshnehem Akurim Hayu, which means that they were both actually barren, both Yitzhak as well as Rivka. So this is like a familiar pattern already that we have. Why is it that the forefathers were all barren? So Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Mifnei Shakarash Baruch Hu Misave Letfilaso Shel Tzadikim, because Hashem desires the prayers of the righteous. Now that raises a whole host of hashkafa, philosophical issues in its own right. Well, doesn't sound very nice. So maybe there are some answers that are out there, but that's not actually what I want to talk about today. I want to speak about the other Gemara that's quoted from that daf, where it says, Vayesar lo, that he was listened to. So the Gemara says, Lahem mi ba'ile. It should have said, listen to them, meaning Rivka was davening as well. So why does it say Hashem listened to him, to Yitzchak, and not to Yitzchak and to Rivka? So the Gemara answers, Elu lefi she'ina doma tefilat tzadik ben tzadik, letfilas tzadik ben rasha. Because there is no comparison between the tefila of the righteous, the son of a righteous, versus the righteous, the son of a evil person. So if you compare the two of them, right, Yitzchak was righteous and his father was righteous. Yitzchak was a son of Avraham. So therefore he sounds like he has the extra zechusim or something. And we have to figure out what that Gemara means. But there's some reason why Yitzchak would get listened to over his wife, because Yitzchak had parents who were tzaddikim. He came from more righteous stock. He had better yichus. While Rivka's father, she came from Besuel. Besuel was her father, so she did not come. She was a ben rasha. So therefore, Hashem listened to the tzaddik ben tzaddik rather than the tzaddik ben rasha. That's what the, right. So I guess the assumption is that she davened. How did we know that she actually davened? Well, if she didn't, the question would be, why not? And you could apply the same Gemara. I mean, I assume the Gemara meant that why did Hashem listen to him over her? Because he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik. It could be just simply Yitzchak took care of the davening because he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik rather than a tzaddik ben rasha. So that is that's Gemara number one. Now, there is a flip side to the Gemara, and that is a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, where it quotes from a pasuk in Yeshaya, that Hashem actually seems to favor the tzaddik, the tefillah of a bal tshuva, the tefillah of somebody who sinned and got better, rather than the tefillah of a tzaddik itself. So we seem to have these two contradictory gemaras. On one hand, Hashem seems to prefer tzaddik ben tzaddik, the better yichus. On the other hand, Hashem perhaps is more impressed by the person who was not so great and came back and started to do better. So that is a question that is out there. That's a good question, but what halachic ramifications could that possibly have? I mean, we are who we are, and we do the best that we can, whatever our circumstances are. So what halachic ramifications would this have? Any thoughts out there? What halachic ramifications would it have as to who Hashem listens to, a tzaddik ben tzaddik versus, or a tzaddik ben rasha?
You could say certain ones good for certain, certainly good for certain type prayers, like Abraham Davin for.
No, but you have to. Everybody's asking for whatever they need, Right. So what does it matter? So what? I'm giving a halacha here now. I'm going to point out the halachic ramification of this. Any thoughts on what that would be? So this is invoked. This question is invoked about who should be the shliach tzibur, who should be the chazan. I mean, perhaps we should look specifically for one or for the other in order to be the in order to lead the tzibur. Now, there is a bit of a question. The Piskei Tshuvos raises this question, that perhaps this whole halacha might not be relevant. You know, what I'm going to speak about now is who is ideally going to be the chazan. Perhaps this might not be relevant at all today. Or not necessarily at all, but mostly not relevant today. Why would that be? Because the nature of the Shliach Tzibur perhaps has changed over the years. That it used to be that the Shliach Tzibur would daven, and most of the people sitting in shul were, I don't know, illiterate, or they didn't even have siddurim. And siddurim are very expensive, and not necessarily everybody could read. So, you know, the Shliach Tzibur was actually davening on behalf of the congregation. He was the messenger of the Tzibur. As opposed to today, the Shliach Tzibur is more of a leader, an organizer, a director, but everybody else in the shul is probably davening also. So the character of the Shliach Tzibur perhaps has changed. That has ramifications with regards to a particular din, which we still have echoes of today, in our shul at least, and that is by slichos. During slichos time of year, there is a concept that the person who daven slichos should be the chazan for the rest of the tefillos as well over the course of the day. Why is that? So the concept is that a person who already has a mitzvah, they shouldn't give that mitzvah up. So therefore, if he's davening slichos, he should daven shacharis, he should daven mincha, and perhaps should daven ma'ariv the night before as well. So it's a little questionable why that should only apply to slichos and not every other time of the year. If you're daven ma'ariv, you should daven shacharis the next morning also. Why is it only a slichos halacha? So that's question A. But question about issue B, and the reason why I've kind of diluted the impact of that, even though the minhag of our shul was to do it, so I said we're not going to do it at the expense of somebody who otherwise has a chiyuv, somebody otherwise has yortzai, somebody otherwise is a mourner. So we're not going to do it at his expense. So the main reason for that is because it's not necessarily a mitzvah anymore to be a chazan. I mean, once upon a time, when you were the person who was davening on behalf of the tzibur, so that was a mitzvah, and I'm not going to give up my mitzvah. I get to hold on to it. But nowadays, the shliach tzibur is not necessarily there's not particularly a mitzvah that he's doing. He's directing the congregation, so it's not the role has changed. The definition of the role has changed. But nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch, it speaks about who should be qualified to be the chazan. And these ideas are invoked. I wouldn't say starting with, but perhaps in the halachic order, the Tur quotes this halacha, and it quotes these psukim from the Rush. The Tur's father was the Rush, and the Rush has a letter where the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, grew up in Germany. He started off as the Rav in Germany. He was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, and then became a Talmud, and then became a Rav in Germany. And then during the Rindfleisch massacres, so the Maharam was taken captive, and the Maharam famously didn't want to be redeemed, or he wasn't able to be redeemed, and the Maharam told his Talmud the Rush, at least according to some versions, that you better get out of here because when I die, you're next, they're going to take you next and hold you captive. So at some point the Rush left Southern Germany, and traveled to Spain after spending a little bit of time in Provence in southern France. He ended up in Spain. He was chavrusas with the Rashba for a year in Barcelona, and then the Rashba was able to procure a job for him in Toledo. The Rabbeinu Yonah had left Toledo. The rabbinic post in Toledo was available, so the Rush becomes the Rav of Toledo, which is interesting. The Rush is obviously a massive Talmud Chacham. He's a Rishon, etc., but he is Ashkenazi trained in a Sephardic land, right? So that leads to all sorts of interesting clashes. So he points out here that he had a clash on this issue as well, that he comes over here to Spain, and it seems that the only thing they really care about for who should be the chazan is whoever sings the best, regardless of what his family history is. And the Rush thinks that that's incorrect. Now, the Rush doesn't exactly define what he thinks is better. He thinks that it's inappropriate for a person who is a Rasha to be the chazan, even though he has a good voice. He thinks that that is inappropriate. He says, however, just to choose a person who has good yichus, who otherwise doesn't have good character traits, that also is inappropriate. However, he is left a little bit, he doesn't necessarily resolve this question of which is better, a person who has good character traits and is a Shomer Torah Mitzvos and has good yichus, as it would seem to sound like from our Gemara in Yevamos, versus a person who has good character traits and is a big Talmud Chacham and learns and is a good guy, but doesn't necessarily come from the best stock, but he developed himself, which seems to be in accordance with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So he doesn't seem to resolve that question. But if one looks on the page in Shulchan Aruch, so the Taz quotes this question. The Taz is on a page of Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. So you have the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah down the middle, you have the Magin of Ram on the outside, and you have the Taz on the inside. So the Taz quotes from this Rush, it says, Betur, Kasuv V'Shem HaRush, that the ability to be, or the malos is the malos, the best character traits, or the ideal person to be the shliach tzibur is not taloi in who his family is. Shviyichus mishpacha, the im hu min hamishpacha bezuya. But if he's from a bad family, v'tzadik tov. But he's righteous. Tov lekarev, he's better to be called mizer rechokim shenemar shalom shalom lerachok v'lekarov. Right, it's better to call. Sorry, what are we talking? The idim who mina mishpacha bezuya v'tzadik tov lekarev mizera rechokim shenemar shalom shalom lerachok v'lekarov. That peace to the ones from far and those that come from close. That's the pasuk that the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes to indicate that it's better to have the person who came from far than someone that came from close. Mikol Makom, he says.
So that's on the Baal Tshuva side.
That's the Rush, right? But if it's all things being equal, Chasav Maharshal. Mikol Makom im Shnehem Shavim. If all things are equal, Bevadai Meyuchas Kodem. Right, then it's better to have somebody who has good yichus. It's better for him to come first. L'she'enu miyuchas than somebody who is not so miyuchas. Why? Ki eino domet tefila tzadik ben tzadik tzadik she'eno ben tzadik, or whatever the language was. The tzadik ben Russia. What?
You're going back to Rivka.
Right, going back to Rivka, meaning the Gemara in Sanhedrin does indicate that it's okay for somebody, that Hashem certainly accepts the tefillos of somebody who perhaps doesn't have good yichus, but it's better to have somebody who is a tzaddik ben tzaddik than a tzaddik ben rasha, all things being equal. That is the... That's the
any reason, just that's it.
What do you mean? Based on our pasuk and our in the chumash, based on the fact that the pasuk says Hashem accepted Yitzchak's tefillos rather than Rivka's tefillos, if Rivka bothered to daven at all, right?
Yeah.
So that's what the Taz quotes from the Rush, and then through the interpretation of the Maharshal. Then the Taz, however, says V'lafia niyaz daisi midikas of Harush. Tov lekare mizera rechokim, shma mina sheish kan od acher mizera sheinam rechokim. Right, from the language of the Rush, it sounds the fact that he says it's better to call from the zera of those that are far. Shma mina, what does it sound like? That there were others mizera sheinam rechokim. The lashon tov lekare, because when you use the language of it's better to call, mash mishish breira. It sounds like you have a choice. Bafilu hachi tov lekare vzeshu einu miyuchas. It's better to call the person who is not the miyuchas. Why? K'dei lekarva le'osu zera l'shchina. In order to bring others close to the shchina. Right? The rachmano liba bai v'tehei tefilasu nishmas yoser mitzadik ben tzadik v'zenilma mipasik l'rachok v'lekarov. And he says, because he's actually going to be accepted more. So the Taz, l'maskan, according to his opinion, he comes down on the other side. He says that all things being equal, it's better to have the non-yichus person rather than to have the yichus person.
Because he could identify with most of the congregants.
He could identify with the congregants, but Hashem appreciates those that have come, that have made a trip, rather than those that aren't.
But the only thing, I'm going to help on that off the wall. But what kind of what's the reason? Because when we start the Shemoneh Esrei, we start about Aryukas. We start out Buddha, you know.
Yeah, but we don't start. Yeah, but we don't say, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzhak, okay, Yaakov, and okay, my father who was a big tzaddik, and okay, my grandfather who was a rav in some town in Europe, right? We say, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzhak, okay, Yaakov, yeah, which we all have that yichus.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
so that could just as well be a proof the other way.
I'm just using an example of using.
Right, but that's not necessarily yichus. That might be what we call zechus avos.
Yeah,
that we are guaranteed certain things because of our zechus avos, because of the merits of our fathers.
Family has expanded avos besides Avram, he has his own. I don't know.
Right. So according to the Taz, by the way, so the Taz is saying that we favor the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is a more of a bland Gemara. It says Hashem loves the tefillos of somebody who has come from far away. Mm-hmm. Because we accept that Gemara over the Gemara in Yevamos, which seems to be a little bit more explicit, where it says so that seems to be saying that no, that one is it actually compares the two and seems to say that a tzaddik ben tzaddik is better. So what does the Taz do with that Gemara? So in the footnotes to the Art School Gemara, it quotes, I believe, from the Maharshal, that I gotta look it up again, but in the footnotes there, so he quotes that no, the idea of the Gemara, what the Taz would say is that Gemara dealing with Rivka and Yitzchak, that only pertains to issues of not having children. That is a local Gemara to the idea of not having children, as opposed to tefillos in general. Why should it make a difference? Why should there be something, a unique law about a tzaddik, about tzaddik ben tzaddik versus tzaddik ben eno tzaddik that would particularly pertain specifically to having children? So he suggests that because just as a person has children, and it's a zechus for a person to have children, so too that person has a connection to their grandparents as well. That when a grandparent has a grandchild, it in some ways is as if they are having a child as well. So he explains that for a tzaddik ben Rasha to daven, how many meritorious people are you invoking? One. Right, a person is davening and saying, I want to have a child. If the person is a tzaddik ben tzaddik and they're davening, so who's going to be getting a child in that case? Two tzaddikim, right? Him and the grandfather, right? If they're both tzaddikim, that perhaps could invoke more merits in order to have a child. But that would be a local issue as it pertains to children, rather than a issue in general as it pertains to tefillos.
Kind of fits in, but there's a cemetery. He's invoking his past, and if he has a kid, he continues on the way. It's a continuation,
okay.
Sort of like if it's in that way, rather than his own specific needs. He's continuing the chain of tzaddikim if he has a kid, hopefully. No, that's like this.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Individual, it's not the same thing.
There it is. Okay.
No, you don't control your
kids. Those people that have, that sometimes when you write in Hebrew script, you get your Zions and Gimels mixed up. So I just did that. So I'm looking at Sif Yud Zion, but it really isn't Sif Yud Gimel. So how's the Mishnah Berurah Paskin with regards to this machlokas between the Maharshal and the Taz? So he seems to say, Tov lahadir achar shliach tzibur. This is in Simen Nun Gimel Sif Yud Gimel. Tov lahadir achar shliach tzibur tzadik ben tzadik. That which the Rush was talking about, where he raised this question. He says, however, gamkein rak she'enu miyuchas afal mikol makom in aviv rasha. He means enu miyuchas means that the father is not a might not be such a tzaddik, but he can't be a rasha either. If he's a rasha, so perhaps that would disqualify him more. So that seems to be in accordance with the general reading of the Maharshal, rather than with accordance with the reading of the Taz. Meaning we do put some. What's it called? We do put some emphasis on who the father was. Now, I was thinking that what? I know the grandfather was and who the general yichus is of that person.
Right.
So as I was just flipping through some of these halachos here, so I was thinking that correlates somewhat. I mean, does that mean that we necessarily say that that's true? Is it because we really hold that person's tefillos are better? or perhaps there is something else going on here as well. So I was thinking, as you go through these halachas, you come to another halacha as well, and that is the Ramah comments in Nun Gimel Sif Hey that v'im hayakan ama aretz zakin v'kolo noin. Let's say you have a person who's not so knowledgeable, an elderly, not so knowledgeable person who has a nice voice. V'am chafitzimbo, and people want him because he's got a nice voice. U'ben yud gimel shana hameivin masha omer v'in kolo noin. And you have a 13-year-old who knows what he's saying, but doesn't have such a nice voice. So a katan hu kodem, the katan should come first. However, misha avar aveira b'shogeg, let's say a person violated an aver b'shogeg, like he killed someone by accident. He did tshuva on that. He's permitted to be a shliach tzibur. But let's say he was once a murderer, right? Lo, he's not allowed to. Why? Because the Ramah says, because there has gone a bad name about him before the tshuva has taken place. Right? Before the tshuva, even though he maybe did tshuva, but because there's a bad name about him, we're not going to invoke him, we're not going to use him as part of the chazan, simply because there's a bad name about him. So was it this year, or I think maybe last year, it was last year, in Beth HaMedrash for the Shabbos Tshuva Drasha, we talked about, does tshuva really work? Right? That was the topic of this year, and this is one of the topics that kind of fits into that question, right? We assume that Hashem forgives us all on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So why don't we forgive this dude? Right? This dude was a murderer. He killed someone. And now he did tshuva. So why do we disqualify him simply because something happened in the past? There is a concept sometimes that we just do. There are some melachos that a person is not allowed to do if they've ever killed somebody. For example, Birchas Kohanim. If a Kohen ever killed somebody, they are disqualified from Birchas Kohanim forever. But that's a gezeiras hakasav, and that meaning that's a unique circumstance based on a text reading there. You never killed anybody, you're a Kohen, but you never killed anybody.
I may have killed somebody.
So you're good.
I was in the army, people were shooting me, I was shooting all of them.
Oh, so that's a Shiloh. That's a Shiloh. If you, whose army?
American.
You're in the American army in what, Vietnam? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's a question. If somebody was in the army, the Shiloh is raised, if you look in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he raises two levels to this question. Question one is, if you were in the army and you killed somebody, first of all, does it apply even if you killed a non-Jew? That's a question. Right. And let's say you were in the army, so does that, you know, that was your job, and that maybe that kind of loosens the thing. That's A. The second Shiloh that he talks about is, not just if you were in the American army fighting the Vietnamese, or you're in the Polish army fighting the Russians, or you're in the, right? But if you were in the Israeli army fighting the Arabs, right? Perhaps that might be a further reason to be Makel, or perhaps even not. And then I heard a further Shiloh recently, most assume that I think that this is okay, but if you were aiding in the killing of somebody, so for example, this was the Shiloh that was asked to my Rebbe, to Rav Shachter, if somebody is a sniper in the Israeli army, right? So apparently, I don't know how this works, so apparently there is a sniper, and then he has a chevra next to him. He has a spotter, right? They're a team. It's not just a sniper working by himself, but he has a spotter. I guess he looks more broadly, and the sniper looks more particularly. Maybe that's, I don't know. I'm not sure what they do. So that's what happens?
Yeah.
So let's say a guy is a spotter. Not the sniper. He's the spotter. Right. And he's a Kohen. Is he maybe then not allowed to do Berchas Kohen and Leol Lamba? Right? So that's a question that's out there. Probably he would be allowed to, but the question goes up to that, even until that point. But there's no such din here. Right, so why here? Why don't we just say the guy did tshuva and we forgive him?
I have no idea. It was a battle. Who got killed? Who didn't get killed? The guy got killed.
No, you right. You don't know either. Okay.
It's even a doubt.
Yards away from you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in your case, I look it up one more time. But I assume you would say something like Suffolk deraisa l'chumra,
right?
That you would have the ability to do that mitzvah. But what about here? Why could that's because this guy did some chait at some point in his life. Why is he then not allowed to do things forever and ever? So if we recall, that shir was really about leader. Somebody wants to be a rav or the issue, right? So he did something wrong. He does tshuva. So why does he automatically? It seems like he's not going to be accepted back regardless. So perhaps when a person is in positions of leadership. And we pointed this out from the Gemara in Makos about where the Gemara in Makos talks about a person who we learned Makos here in First Seder. Is that one of the Masechtas we covered? All right, Gemara Makos talks about the person who has to run to the Ir Nidachas. He kills somebody by accident, and he runs to the Ir Nidachas. So the Gemara has a discussion about what happens when he goes back home? Does he get his positions back? And the Gemara has a question about that. Does he get his positions back, assuming he did tshuva? And it's what Lamaskana, what seems to happen is that the people have the right to choose. People have the right to say, do we trust him that he has come back? Do we trust him that he has actually done tshuva, that he's now going to be more careful, etc.? Or do we not? What about tshuva? The answer is, tshuva is between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva is not between him and us. Right? If that guy gets up, and every time he gets up to daven, all I see is a murderer, right? Despite the fact that he may have done tshuva, so that's going to be a problem.
An accidental murder.
The Rama says an accidental murderer who did tshuva, he is the shliach tzibur. But a mazid murderer who did tshuva, he's not going to be able to be. Why not? The answer is because I see a murderer.
Yeah.
The same thing with a leader who got himself into some kind of trouble, right? So I don't see the leader. I see a tax evader or something worse than that, right? Even if he says he did tshuva, and even if you know, so what am I? If that's the impression that he has over the tzibur, so then that's going to be permanently a problem, particularly in these positions. I did tshuva. Yeah, tshuva is between him and the Kaddish Baruch, not necessarily between him and the congregation he is serving. Okay, so I have a lot more to say on that topic. I think it's a fascinating topic, but we only have a certain amount of time. So we have, just to review, we pointed out that there seems to be a contradiction between the Gemara in Yevamos versus the Gemara in Yevamos, who reads into our Pasuk the idea that Hashem listens to a Tzaddik ben Tzaddik more than a Tzaddik ben Rasha, versus the Gemara in Sanhedrin that seems to say that Hashem appreciates the tefillos of those that started far away and were able to come closer. We had the issue of the Rush showing up in Spain and trying to dissuade people from taking a Russia as a chazan just because he doesn't have a good voice, who invokes this idea for the tzibur but doesn't really come to a conclusion. We then had the machlokes of the Marshal and the Taz about what the applicability of these two gemaras are. The Marshal says tzaddik ben tzaddik is better, and that's what carries the day. And you had the Taz saying, no, he's not so sure. He's not so sure that maybe somebody who comes closer is better. We really pass on like the Gemara in Sanhedrin. If that's the case, what is the tzaddik ben tzaddik better for? So some suggest that the Taz would say, no, it's tzaddik ben tzaddik is better only for davening for a child, because the child is going to be a schus for the grandparent. But in general, maybe he's not going to be more acceptable. And then we have the Mishnah Berurah seems to pass like the Marshal over the Taz. And finally, we have this the Ramah, who talks about somebody who is that perhaps more important than the technical issues of what this person did or not is the impression that you get from the Ramah is what kind of impression does he put on the tzibur? I mean, even if he is somebody that has taken care, put his affairs in order, but everybody just sees a guy who was a balavera at some point, even a murderer or perhaps some other sins that he once did. So he's not roy to daven on behalf of the tzibur, not necessarily because he didn't do tshuva and his tshuva wasn't accepted, but because he's not going to work for the tzibur, as the tzibur would say. It's not you, it's us. What can we do? You're up there, that's what we see, and therefore it's inappropriate for you to be the chazan on our behalf. Right? Good? All right. You'll stop here. Yes?
Where does the gear fit in this hierarchy?
I don't know. Immediately, the thought comes to mind is that a ger is like a katan shenola dummy, like a newborn child. So perhaps he does get a clean slate up, yalacha. But he might get a clean slate of maybe better off than the Baal Shuva. Although maybe with him also, one might think back. It might be subject to the congregation, what the congregation thinks.
Not sure.
Don't know.